So the commitment to our relationship with Nama Prabhu, we are not committed in this relationship.
Commitment to our relationship with Nama Prabhu, whatever it is, generally when the material world, when you say, I'm committed to this, you know, we mean it's a priority and we're sincere about the commitment. So commitment to our relationship with Nama Prabhu is making japa sincere and priority.
And japa.
Doing japa sincerely and make it a priority. And usually when we say this is a commitment, we are usually not looking for alternatives. We are committed to this and we don't usually say that and then I'm going to go look for alternatives. Making commitment relationship with Nama Prabhu, making that commitment means that the realization that there are no other alternatives for spiritual progress.
Same, along the same lines. But one thing, so you said, Maharaj, so the chanting is everything. The holy name is everything, right? It reveals everything to you. If we chant properly and if our relationship with the holy name is strong. So even, I mean, I heard this second time from you, even hearing this repeatedly, still I don't have that that sincerity. Maybe that is because I'm committing more offenses. So my commitment is, okay, so I'm going to try not to make any offenses and commit any. I'll start with at least 10 offenses.
So, as per Hindu Dharma, for every relationship, to the start, to the end, for committing the relationship, we chant the holy name of God. So we call it as, for everything we call it as Sarvam Samarpayami, which means that whatever it is, whatever the relationship we are starting, it is by means of God we are starting the relationship. And whatever the relationship we are ending, that is also by means of God. So, in the meantime, we should always remember that the commitment, whatever is given by God, we need to maintain by chanting His holy name. So, not only like, for example, birth of a child, we do some punya acharam and we'll stop with that. And similarly, when marriage, we'll stop, just like a mantra, we'll stop with that marriage. It should be a lifelong process. You should continue chanting the name of Lord. So one thing like I just wanted to like mention about commitment. Correct. Correct.
Ongoing.
Yep. And also we think that whatever the prayers done during some certain occasions only like is part of that commitment.
It's not an event, it's a process.
Yeah. It's a process. Yes.
My commitment to Nama Prabhu is I want to concentrate more on mantra, like instead of my mind is going all the way around thinking something else while chanting, so I want to chant properly so that it's kind of begging for His merciful merciness, so that I can visualize Krishna while chanting and feel His presence.
Pardon? Is there anything further you like to add?
Yes, so that I can visualize Krishna while chanting. I want His presence. I want to feel His presence. That's what. Because Nama Prabhu both are non different, mantra and Krishna.
My commitment to the relationship with Nama Prabhu is like chanting the name with full love and devotion. With no disturbances. No disturbances in mind.
What's the word you use?
Disturbances?
Disturbances. That's what constitutes a commitment.
No.
Being undisturbed. Because of the commitment to the Holy Name.
Yeah, correct. That's what it
is. Striving for that.
Yeah.
down, striving for full shelter, here, shelter.
My commitment to Nama Prabhu is I'll beget his sincere, I mean similar to Krishna Prabhu only, but I'll beget his lotus feet to give me the strength to do sincerely the chanting of 16 rounds every day without missing. I made a goal last year when I came here at Japa retreat. In the middle I failed in, to be honest with you. And sometimes I don't know, it's Krishna is making me do like this way, I don't know anything, but when I saw some faults in others I forgot the mistakes what I had done, but easily from my mouth it will come. I am begging at his lotus feet to overcome that part, like not to make any more mistakes and chant my rounds sincerely with love and devotion towards to him.
I'm going to simplify, there's duplicates of what you said.
Huh?
I'm adding to begging. Let's discuss these. Commitment to a relationship, you have not received to say, means something we also heard. It's an ongoing, not a one time, I make it then. Subsist from that commitment, or off from that commitment. Demonstrate our commitment to a person, as you indicated, like in marriages, and then that's it. There's no, therefore, the chanting, approaching Nama Prabhu is regularly resting from Nama Prabhu for the strength. Oh, in a relationship with, we'll just explore this a little bit. In a relationship of marriage, or as you indicated, some other ritual where there's a ceremony and there's the invoking of the name of God. And then the ceremony's over and one walks away. The commitment to a relationship, one doesn't walk away. Let's say in a marriage, do we request from one's spouse, please give me the strength to commit it to this relationship of marriage? With God. God, may I have that. This is praying to God, praying to his name, to have the strength to remain committed to him, and that way all other desirable things can come. In that Gnosticum prayer, that of all auspicious things, this is the foundation of all auspicious things. So, within religious practice, one may invoke the name of God, but I want this, I want that, I want something else, I want a bunch of things. And when approaching the chanting of the holy name, be very nice. It's just commitment to the relationship with the holy name, not with some, you know, items attached to it, a shopping list or an inventory of I want such and such from our relationship, just I want the relationship. Something that you mentioned was not looking for alternatives. So Prabhupada teaches that also, that, and Rupa Goswami, Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada expresses it this way, that love is exclusive. After man and woman are married, it's not, oh, it's she might be my wife too, or he might be a nice husband. That's not the commitment to marriage. It's, this is my husband, this is it to my husband, I'm committed to my wife, shopping around for other. Otherwise there isn't a commitment to my husband or to my wife. And what is it that when there's commitment to a person, the relationship, then it certainly in worldly things, part of the package is there's some pluses and minuses. The other person has some strength, the other person has some weaknesses. Nonetheless, there's commitment to the person. And religious marriage is not just a legal contract, but it's under God. We're invoking the name of God to sanctify this, so it's regardless of strengths and weaknesses, and assist that other person to utilize their strengths and to overcome their weaknesses, spouse or a friend or any relationship. But it's what's unique with the name is there isn't some conditions, like not that the holy name has its strengths and weaknesses. So it's full and exclusive shelter. There's no need, or rather, that shelter allows one to accomplish all other commitments. To whatever degree commitments can be fulfilled, strength comes from that commitment, that relationship. Elaborate a little bit about sincerity and priority. Or you feel that, or sense
it. Unfortunately, I don't feel Maharaj. I was just thinking, you know, in material world, when you say that it's committed to something, what does it usually mean, that you'll do this, and you know, this is a priority for me. When I go to my manager and say, I'm committed to getting this done, I know I'll try it sincerely and I'll try make it a priority. So, if I have a good commitment to my relationship with Nama Prabhu, which unfortunately I still don't, I would take japa as a priority and chant sincerely.
Let's explore that. You've made a commitment to your manager, person, to do a certain thing, and you have also this commitment to Nama Prabhu, vows of initiation, right? Even prior to vows for initiation. Other commitments, and then there seems it's like, I won't be able to fulfill this commitment because, you know, it's the second position, all priorities. Those circumstances arise.
I don't know, Maharaj, maybe beg for mercy, like the devotees said. I some of it, I used to think it's not having time, but then another time here, I'm trying to chant 64 rounds. I have no business other than chanting here for all day, yet my mind wanders. I used to think, you know, I'm in a rush to go to office, that's why my mind is wandering. But I'm here, and my mind still wanders, even though I have no business other than to chant here today.
What's your sense of why it's so? Or gap.
Right.
It doesn't diminish. So what do we do with it? Is it because there's not sufficient commitment, or there's not sufficient sincerity, or there's not a clear sense when I make, like what might push against it to violate. I was naive when I made that commitment. And had I been more thoughtful before making such a commitment, it would have been an additional commitment.
I think the commitment is sincere, Maharaj, but unfortunately, you know, it's not something mind is not able to keep up. You know, it's I hope the commitment is sincere.
I'm not speaking in such a way to put you on a hot seat. I'm speaking. You know, conceptually.
So is it like we have commitment? That's why we took a vow of initiation, and that's why we are serving Lord in whatever capacity, meager capacity He has given us. But at the same time, maybe lack of training or aptitude, or could be something like that. Is that the reason?
I think Sarva Prabhu said something that probably applies a lot more to me than probably even him. Probably committing offenses, you know, probably still continue to do those things. So that's I'm trying to chant attentively and, you know, tell myself for 1 month at a time. You know, 1 month at a time doesn't stay with. in the mind for a long time. Right? It stays for few mantras, and then it almost feels like, you know, now I think I have the hang of chanting attentively, and then suddenly when that thought comes, that itself takes the attention away.
Any other commitment?
So you and I'm a manager in Microsoft. So people report to me. I report to a manager as well. So commitment to me is, okay, so I'm committing this to my manager. So if you see the motivation behind that is salary that I'm getting. Or the rank, they're going to rate me. I mean, at the end of the year, they're going to do performance evaluation and say, okay, this person has exceeded in all his commitments. He already underperformed like that. So as a senior, I'm basically an engineer. So that's the motivation to me to fulfill that. So that sort of thing is missing here. I know, I mean, yesterday also you told me, you told us, holy name is everything. Everything is holy name. Right? When I heard that, wow, I want to chant nicely, I want to commit to that. That is everything, material, spiritual, both.
Adding to his point, we are not in this managerial and organization case, we know the cause and the effect. By doing this, I will get this. But in spiritual, we don't know. Or we are trying to know it.
I mean, we know it, but somehow we are not sincere enough.
We don't have sufficient faith.
It's like my little daughter, she told today morning, I'm going to chant 32 rounds or something like that, 7-8 years old. She comes and first thing she says, I chanted 55 rounds. I said, wow, daddy's still on our 25th. And, yeah. So I said, very good. You know. So I think the faith is not there, or as Maharaj said, or I personally feel that training, actually, even after hearing this again, I mean, whatever Maharaj said last year, I heard Srila Prabhupada's lectures, but I'm wondering why I'm not able to do that. If I know it is right, but somehow I'm not able to do it. At workplace, as you said correctly, there's a motivation and salary and all this, and then we strive to do good. But here, in spite we know that there is a next life, and you know, all this cycle.
That's performance evaluation.
There is. But we still don't treat it as a how, because I guess this is sudden or in the near future, that's why we feel that way.
No, as Maharaj said, it's a faith, right? Because I know if I made this commitment or perform very well in this commitment, sure I'm going to get rewarded. So when it comes to spirituality, it's all it's theoretical to me. Okay, there is a life after life. You have a cycle of birth and death. This is, yeah, it's there. So I know I'm growing old, I'm falling sick, okay, disease is there. Birth and death. To me, it's a theoretical, so I don't have full faith, as Maharaj said.
No.
Kach, as it from the table Ashtam. Kachartam, Vismritam Ratna. Mistaking it as a mere piece of glass, people have forgotten this jewel. And even we hear, it's not piece of glass, it's a jewel. And we hear, just, you know, we hear it and we say yes. In our mind we say yes. But one of the messages that I was speaking this morning was not yet mature. That yes is not yet mature. Or as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, the I and mine, which is, gee, the performance evaluation of Microsoft is really pressing against me. You know, I have this, how many years of conditioning that says that's the commitment that has to be fulfilled. Whatever else doesn't happen, that's the commitment that has to be fulfilled. Whatever has the commitment that has to be fulfilled. And the path is well worn. It's an expressway. Not just a path. Now it's expressway and I'm in the fast lane. That's strongly pressing. So what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says is the I and mine conception, to some, when that time comes where one has faith, and based upon preliminary faith, Krishna sends sadhu sangha, And that Sadhu Sangha nurtures that faith up to the point of Bhajana Kriya. And now I have that much faith that I'm doing Bhajana Kriya and I hear the holy name is everything. But that faith is not yet mature. So the immature faith says, well, I feel this pressing very strongly against me. My conditioning. Even while here, I don't have to run off to work, but my mind is running off to work. Because I'm used to being not only in the express way, but in the fast lane. I'm used to like getting lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of stuff done, lots of stuff to get done. My mind doesn't know what to do with itself. Plan how to get stuff done while chanting the holy name because I have some faith that the holy name is everything. So, for the commitment to the holy name, or it's two things in principle, two categories of things. Covered them this morning. One of them is those fallible soldiers need to be left aside. And renewing the commitment, like the ongoing, not just the event, but the ongoing commitment and on so that it goes deeper. It's like anything, that if you want to become accomplished at something, you need to practice at that something. Passion. Or with a hobby. You want to become good at something. It's just because you like to do it. Practice makes perfect. Or Prabhupada, a phrase that Prabhupada said a zillion times, is by practice something becomes second nature. In fact, our true nature is our relationship with Krishna, and commitment to Krishna is just all natural. But I have other things pressing against me. Mind wants to go here, mind wants to go there. Behind that, this smaller voice that says, I want to go to Krishna, my relationship with Krishna, but it's a small accomplishment. Go to obstacles and get what it wants. Here's of people getting us on board with doing that. You know, accomplished people are proficient at it. Nothing to do with Krishna, everything to do with any religious ones, the under God ones. You know, it still has our scale of values, that a certain commitment is withdrawn. Or it's strong or weak depending upon, are my standards met? Because our relationship with... So it's a fact that the holy name is everything. Everything, not only our work commitment, would be Krishna, not just to get the performance evaluation, another realm as transcendental reward in the form of commitment in one's relationship with Krishna. It's something that a phrase that is, from my perspective, what's important in a in a devotee's well-being is that it's not where they are on their trajectory, and you know, at a certain point, you know, a bell rings and they win the prize, and then, you know, that's a ground here is not a good devotee because they're not enough yet. That's not the criterion. The criterion is that they're acting in their relationship with Guru and Krishna according to their capacity, and even that may change from one time to another time. One may become weaker, one may be stronger. Even from the same time to time, but they're acting in that relationship. That's commitment. And one who's doing so feels reciprocation with Krishna. That's the satisfaction that one wants, that relationship is right, all other things are right. When that relationship is not right, for one on the path of Krishna consciousness, however evolved they are, not so evolved, it's that commitment to that relationship. I read this statement by Judd Bharat to Maharaj Rahugana. Mind being all one's tribulation, and mind can be made one's best friend, But that's possible when one is simply fulfilling the instructions of a spiritual master trying to please Krishna. So this make the connection this way. The commitment to the relationship of the holy name is the formation of the spiritual master, because it's the foremost instruction of Mahaprabhu is the commitment to Krishna. That becomes foremost, and when that becomes accomplished, mind comes under control. If there's an obstacle in working in the Microsoft team, answering the coordinates who I'm working properly deployed, the fullness of Krishna's mercy is made possible. I had this mind is like that magnifying glass that takes light of the sun and takes the energy of the sun and focuses it. And so when the mind is properly oriented towards Krishna, the mercy of Krishna can be directed towards, direct the mind towards, if you know, if not pure. But if it's directed towards purity, it's the mind is just an instrument. What's behind, or more subtle, commitment to the relationship with Krishna, can focus the mercy of Krishna upon the heart. And then, whatever it is that you need to accomplish, do not worry. You need not be distracted by thing that you need to get done, gets done very quickly. That's the realization of one new faith. And little faith means a little faith. Same as today's experience. I had the same experience when I was just chanting to share this episode. I was in college, undergraduate school, and I was chanting. Well, you know, the house that I was living in, everybody was chanting. I had a desire to chant 16 rounds because I heard Prabhupada said chant schoolwork to do. My full time to get all my schoolwork done. I made a decision. I said, somehow I'm going to do it. The commitment. I wasn't mature. And so I did it. And with that commitment came, I felt so energized from chanting 16 rounds a day. I didn't plan it this way, but I needed less sleep. And the amount of sleep that I needed less was the same 2 hours. And because I was chanting, I was so much more focused. I got my schoolwork done in less time, and that gave me time for reading. And I didn't have time for chanting or reading without commitment. That gave me a very strong realization. Hey, commitment. And fortunately, you know, commitment to what? Commitment to the instructions of a pure devotee, instructions of Srila Prabhupada, changes the configuration of material energy. Like, you wouldn't anticipate. I had no anticipation that that's what was going to happen. I didn't plan it out. I'll take 2 hours and I'll sleep 2 hours less, and then I'll get my homework done more quickly. Have that anticipation. I just had commitment. There's this office door and calligraphy poster of, it says the negative and then the positive. The negative is, wherever there's some opportunity, as long as there's hesitation, there's no commitment. And in that hesitation, opportunity may be lost. You know that saying, not hesitate, but in a thoughtful way, make commitment to something that ought to be done, and by making that commitment, is the will of providence acts in such a way that opportunities unsought and even unimagined open. Result of commitment, therefore, opportunity comes your way. Make commitment. Action from safe commitment. Then comes this question of prioritizing. So if it comes to, well, I have this priority, but I also have that priority, and I have some other priorities. How am I going to manage them all? Here's what I repeated. And first comes health, then comes sadhana, then comes service. If you take occupational commitment as a serve, sadhana comes first. Supposing you're in the workplace and you have the deadline, you know, your whatever you call those things, you know, going live or whatever those things are. No, it's kind of come up. So you gear up. You just like when Rath Yatra is coming or Janmashtami is coming for a temple manager. You anticipate. like, you know, you get into 5-degree tilt and you're ready, pleasant, you're prepared, very tight with your time, and you keep your regulation as far, don't, you know, all regulation, and be very fitness-wise, priority-wise, as strongly performed sadhana, that work that you need to do in the workplace or the festival or the work effectively. And if you put sadhana on the back burner for that period of time, less controlled, less focused, disturbed by actually come, and especially come when one is just on the holy name. Value that one realizes by experience and maturity. Devotees that regularly write their sadhana reports and comments accompanying their sadhana reports or their realizations. One universal one is, sadhana is strong, the day goes, sadhana is weak, the day goes poorly. Hard to get it back together again. And it makes sense. When commitment to Krishna slackens because of circumstance, the relationship shouldn't slacken because of circumstance. Because of circumstance, I'm not so committed to you. Committed to the relationship, you're committed to the something gets worked out in that relationship. Different things to see to that, or time to take care of things. Or especially if this one, the relationship with Krishna, like Chandra did when he met the Vanaras, they had a fire, made vows in the name of God, and the performance evaluations and the mind focused activity. That's faith. And would waver. Anishtata. Unsteady. Or it's nishta. Not be at the stage of shuddha, avishuddha, absolute purity. Just nishta. Just unwap is because of like what we commitment to in our relationship with in the form of His holy name. As if I don't give my undivided attention to task done, thanked, punished, I'll be reprimanded, I'll be a bhakti, or immature stage of faith. Training is another way of saying nurturing faith, assisting one in the anartha obstacles, blocking. Made. Not looking for alternatives. One thing, definition of faith. By accomplishing this one thing, all other desirable things will be accomplished. That's the statement. Hare and everything. And with everything comes everything. And faith that's not mature says, yes, but. Faith that's mature doesn't say yes, but. It just says. And you go there. Hopefully you take home for the devotees that are participating in the retreat is strengthening life, my work, my duties at the temple, my own internal life, extended family, and whatever are the other things. I can accomplish this one thing. These other things can be best as one can accomplish them. In the name of God. Make his vow, invoke his Ram's name. Because he knew if he invoked Ram's name, Dasrat wouldn't go against him. It's all important that the relationship with the holy name. Narva, you want to expand a little bit, especially if we have some commitment. As commitment wavers, as an indication that commitment is not sufficient, that tells me that the problem is I'm making offenses against the holy name. Therefore, commitment means extra commitment to avoid the offenses.
I mean, to start with the 10 offenses, right? We read 10 offenses every day, but how much I put that in practice, if I see it's very less. So the reason I don't have that the taste for the holy name, or even the faith, I don't have full faith in the holy name because I'm committing offenses. So if I try not to commit those offenses, maybe Holy Name will be very merciful and give me the taste, and my faith will also increase.
Ask to express that twice. What's the gap? Knowing and doing. Huh?
The desire.
What will help strengthen the desire? What comes through the association of devotees? Think of Narada. nice model. Narada describing to Vyasa in his previous
innocent,
but not having particular faith. And those sages at their association. And what happened in that association? One of the things, if you carefully consider the 10 offenses, the nature of each of the offenses is seeing with material conception something that's not material, conditioned by material conceptions. And even we perception, we measure the perception based on material conception, or the lens of the mind that's materially conditioned. Default. Lazy. Want, but not sufficiently. There's desire, but not depth, but not wholeheartedly. Knowledge alone is not enough, but knowledge is also necessary. Harinam Chintamani, we discussed that last. Harinam Chintamani, Haridas Thakur, describes that the chanting of the holy name must be, to be fully effective, must be combined with proper sambandhagyan. So, in short, sambandhagyan means understanding what's what. And if we don't know what's what, and we're trying to do a spiritual thing, but we have a misconception, there's this disconnect. We don't connect. So it's important on an ongoing basis in our relationship with the holy name, evaluate our conceptions. What's the Vaishnava? And how should I regard a Vaishnava? What's scripture? How should I regard the scripture? Spiritual master? What's the glories of the holy name? Active chanting upon the sinful reactions. Hearing, unfiltered by the material conceptions, spiritual conception. It's sufficient to hear once if we were qualified, but we're unqualified. So we have to have attention to receive the actual message. If we can understand what the holy name is, that's certainly going to strengthen our desire to take shelter there, to have faith. Association, faith increases. Very important parts of that association is here. Unavoidably, one of the things the japa retreat is strengthen or stir the embers of the desire to take shelter so that we can more fully take shelter. And if we more fully take shelter, we'll go, oh, we can experience that approaching with a spiritual conception or proper sambandha again. Although we've heard again and heard again and heard again, necessity, because all shelters, material conceptions.
Begging for His mercy to chant properly, and I want His presence at the time of. I want to feel His presence.
I
yeah, so that.
That's nice.
Yeah, I want to be merciful and chant. And, I don't know. And I want to add one more thing, Maharaj.
Well, before we go to the one more thing, with that one. Thing.
Okay.
What if? Not make His presence felt. Does that affect the commitment?
Yes, I think that. Yes, I cannot concentrate. If I visualize Him, I'm concentrating more. I can chant effectively. If not,
if visualize, does that mean like close your eyes?
Yes.
Do you do that practice, or you're waiting for Krishna to
appear? I'm just practicing and trying to.
There's some image of Krishna or a deity of Krishna? Past times of Krishna?
Yes,
okay. Last chapter, Nam Chintamani, where Haridas Thakur is explaining the sequence. Nama, Rupa, Guna, and Leela. So you're going Leela while chanting Nama. The advice of Haridas Thakur, he's the expert. He's the performance evaluator. Give your full attention to the sound vibration. That's Nama Prabhu, the sound vibration.
Another thing is I want to add is if I'm more anxious about material things, cannot concentrate on chanting or anxiety for chanting spiritual.
When is there time in one's life that there's not anxiety for material things?
So that makes me, if I will be, something will be there, running late, to do some anxious to do, go for the work on time, or make things on time. I cannot concentrate more on chanting or do. I don't feel other way. I don't have anxiety for.
Let's go back to our the headline of our topic, and that's making commitment to our relationship with Nama Prabhu. Let's go back to the heading. And then somewhere down here is material stuff that's happening, not happening, some anxiety, it's not happening on time or something. And then there's our relationship with making a commitment to our relationship with Nama Prabhu. Let's go somewhere in between or somewhere under God comes your relationship, because there's, you know, you're running late for work, relationship with your wife gets like, you know, somewhere over there, because I got to take care of this, and, you know, there's disturbance in relationship with wife because I've got this anxiety, and, you know, please understand, less committed to you, but in all this anxiety, and that too is a relationship. You may go, oh, I understand you're having this anxiety, but it's like, it's always anxiety. And the problem is, under God has been forgotten. Relationship, but at least a religious marriage is under God, not just, oh, I like you and you like me, and so we'll just get our goal. Justice of the peace, and we're married. But it's, you know, religious marriage is under God. So the commitment is for God. We make vows of marriage, and we're being protected. So the protection, healing, if there's a, one of the items that I wanted to share is the item of surrender. There's Rupa Goswami's teaching, taken from Padma Purana, that says there's six items of surrender, six angas, and one of them is Krishna is my protector. Another is Krishna is my maintainer. Not I'm the maintainer, and Krishna is over there somewhere. We have some relationship, but, you know, my maintenance is really important, Krishna, so let me take care of maintenance, we'll get to our relationship later. That, Krishna is one's maintainer. Krishna gives the ability to work, Krishna gives the opportunity, Krishna gives the senses, Krishna gives the intelligence, Krishna gives the field, Krishna gives everything, Krishna is the maintainer. Krishna is the maintainer. Not I'm the maintainer, and then over there somewhere is Krishna. And our relationship, I'm going to get to it. I'll get to you, Krishna. Rest out now. I got to do my maintenance program. Surrender is, Krishna, you are my maintainer. I am, so it's like my Prabhupada gives the, makes the comparison, the difference between a proprietor and a manager. The proprietor of the business and the manager of the business are two different posts. Krishna is the proprietor. And we're taking care of Krishna's business, and Krishna's maintaining us. It's not, you know, the boss at work. It's Krishna's maintaining us. We're not working for the guy at work. We're working for Krishna, at least the position of surrender is. That guy thinks he's my boss. That's okay. Krishna's my boss, and Krishna's my maintainer. And he's got some service to Krishna, too. He just doesn't have, he's not tuned into the Krishna channel yet. So, but I'm working for Krishna. And because I'm working for Krishna, he's far more important than that guy. I'm going to do the best because it's for Krishna. Krishna's going to maintain me. If I'm going to be maintained, Krishna's going to maintain me. Yeah, just stand and make yourself, make your body useful. Put your, yeah, you're good. Good. Yeah, because it's kind of shady now.
You can do it.
So let's refocus again on our topic. The topic is making a commitment in our relationship with Krishna. So when you make a commitment in your relationship with Krishna, then using the expression you weren't here the first time, there's the hills and there's the valleys. So right now we're in a valley, and over there are some hills on all three sides of us. So when you're doing your professional work, sometimes you're riding high, and sometimes it's very stressful because of so many things. People not doing what they're supposed to be doing, then blaming all those things that want to go ahead and blaming. So, in maturing in your chanting, it's important to prioritize your relationship with chanting of the holy name, and specifically your relationship with Krishna in the form of the holy name. As much as that matures and grows in your life, these other things become down. And focused mind and contentment of heart and back to dhira, being equipoised, even there's disturbing circumstances, it's already there. It's accomplished. It's in your grip. But it's not going to be in your grip just by being a stoic or, like, very austere, and I'll just keep going no matter what happens. It's actually feeling protection. One's well-being is secure. I'll be maintained. I'm being protected. I'm safe. In the position of devotion to Krishna, in that surrendered position in relation to Krishna. So, if we're not feeling safe, commitment is challenged. If we're surrendered, symptom of surrender being we're feeling protection, a commitment doesn't waver. Doesn't matter. And we'll be very conscientious to leave on time and arrive on time and on within our capacity, which we're dependent upon Krishna to give. The other way around, the immature stage of, we're speaking gap language again, I have some faith, but when stressful things come, I'm not able to make that commitment, I'm not able to take that shelter, I'm just stressed out. So that's not commitment. That's not the kind of commitment, level of commitment of that we'd like to reach. So it means letting go of some of the other shelters and taking this shelter and cultivating that. But back to chanting with your eyes closed and thinking of Krishna's pastimes. You want to talk about that a little bit? You want to keep doing that? Let me just share once again. The way that Rupa Goswami describes is when attention goes to the sound of Krishna's name, we don't need to make an extra effort. It will happen by arrangement. Krishna will appear within the mind. The form of Krishna will appear. And the qualities of Krishna will be felt and recognized. And the pastimes of Krishna will be enacted. Not by contemplating a pastime, but the pastime will be enacted. That's a very advanced stage. But our acharyas experienced that very advanced stage. And they described pastimes of Krishna that were enacted within their heart. Chanting of the holy name. And they didn't get there by trying to fix their mind on the sound of Krishna's name while thinking of a pastime, because that's inattention to chanting, to the sound of Krishna's name. If the mind and the heart can be aligned such that The sound of Krishna's name enters the heart, and as in Rupa Goswami's language, dances in the chambers of the heart with jubilation. I wish I had thousands of tongues and thousands of ears. But that's from the sound vibration, then the form, then the qualities, in sequence, unfolding. That's higher technology, but that's how it works. Spiritual technology. So it's not recommended to take a shortcut. Just take the mercy as our acharya is describing. This is how Krishna gives his mercy. Sound of his name. What do you think?
Yeah, I try to, and I can fix my mind.
So while you do that, make every effort to keep your mind over here, while your mind is also going over there. Bring the mind to the sound of Krishna's name. In the course of chanting today, did you get up and walk around a little bit? Or you just stayed sitting the whole time? A little bit around.
Sometimes I was standing.
When you went around a little bit and then came back to sitting, what happened? Here's something that happened for me, I think. I didn't have the same appreciation of what a energy field was happening with all the devotees intensely chanting. But I had to go use the restroom, so I went, and coming back, strong spiritual potency. The vibration. Very strong. And then, like, come and sit down in the middle of it. Whoa. Yeah. Just sound. And, you know, the devotion of the devotees calling Krishna. Not some adjustment in the mind, just sound and receiving and calling. That's our process.
Visual, they look at the heart,
yes.
They can focus more. Do you think that is second?
That's we did that last time. Remember last year we did that? We can try that one. And even if you're looking at a picture of Krishna or the deity, concentrate on the sound. Cultivate that. Just abhyasa. So I wrote down, wanting to feel his presence. The expectation, it's just a point of clarification. Relationship should not depend upon whether Krishna makes his presence felt or not. And like, I'm initiated disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and I may wish to see Srila Prabhupada. That may not happen, like, you know. But through devotion, the hankering for that feeling of his presence, the medium for that is service. And when the medium of service is extended, his presence is felt. So, when chanting, wishing to feel Krishna's presence, it's a little bit the cart before the horse, and it should be the horse before the cart. The horse that pulls the cart is, Krishna, please engage me in your service. Let me become eligible to be in your presence by my mood of service unto you. I wish to see your presence. I wish to feel your presence. But more important is I wish just to serve you, whether you're present before me or not present before me. Because through the medium of service, I'll feel Krishna's presence, whether it's before me or not before me. I'll say it again. Wishing to feel Krishna's presence is nice. But as you, because I asked for clarification, if you're not feeling Krishna's presence, then it's hard to stay focused and some discouragement is there. So, that kind of wishing to feel Krishna's presence should be turned around to wishing to be in Krishna's service. Bhakti Siddhanta said, one should not act in such a way, you should not try to see Krishna, but one should act in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. That's nice. Become such a servant. Krishna will come before you.
and he'll speak to you. And he'll say, I am like this. Prabhupada, this is Prabhupada speaking. Like deity worship. That's specifically on the installation of Rukmini Dwarkadish, Prabhupada spoke like that. Serve in such a way that one day Krishna will speak to you. And he'll say, I am like this. That's more than feeling Krishna's presence. But the qualification, mood of service. And going back to some of the earlier comments, unconditional. Whether Krishna shows or doesn't show, but I feel or I don't feel. I want to be in Krishna's service. And when that mood of service is stronger than the mood of you want to feel Krishna's presence. One leads to the other.
Then I have more attentive and
can't remain attentive.
Not certain.
Okay, and your point was? Yes? Remaining undisturbed. Can you elaborate? Because of some prayer.
No, not because I can't concentrate.
Ah.
Lack of concentration.
But then what happens? Keep going dutifully, wondering. That? What should I do? Well, can you connect that with making a commitment to one's relationship with Nama Prabhu? What we just said in our headline? Okay. What about commitment? Where does that part fit in?
Yeah.
Can or cannot?
I cannot.
Cannot.
And I'm confused.
You want to address what she's saying from our prior discussion?
So what I said is, taste or something. I don't have a taste. Just everything. Even hearing this repeatedly, you're still not able to feel attentive. So a certain attention will be raised before the child. So that's where just reading, but I'm not putting it in practice. So my commitment to the holy name is Prabhupada.
So does that help your...
Yeah.
Now you say back. You're in this space that you're chanting... Like say it again, and then say what's the next step, what you need to do. Describe the predicament one more time, and then describe the next step that you need to take.
So my Nama Prabhu is installed, Mike. What's different than from there?
What will that help you accomplish in terms of our headline, our banner topic?
Uh-huh.
That itself is a commitment to the holy name. I'm chanting, but I'm not feeling a commitment to the relationship with the holy name. I feel badly, and I don't know where to go with that. Mm-hmm. Barbara's assisting us with, that's due to my offenses against the holy name, so let me understand what are the offenses, mm-hmm. so that and carefully avoid them so that the level of commitment can be strengthened. Then to that, I responded, what are the reasons why the offenses are there? What's like in the background behind that? Well, one thing was desire, but it's also having a spiritual conception. Through association of devotees, our desire, just as we've come together, mm-hmm. desire can become strengthened. And through hearing spiritual conceptions to replace the material conceptions, means we have to be willing to like cast away the material conceptions and imbibe the spiritual conception of the devotees, the scripture, the name, the spiritual master, the glories and the effect of chanting to rid one of all reactions of millions of lives of sins, which like we read this morning, and so on. The spiritual conception replacing the material conception will help the commitment to the holy name. Help relieve one of the offenses against the holy name. Put it in just like everyday terms with between one person and another person. Supposing I make offenses to another person, like left and right and sideways, and every day and every time I'm around them, I make an offense. And I say, gee, I really don't feel a commitment to this person. Well, if I could stop offending that person, it would help in my commitment to the relationship with the person. But behind even trying to overcome offenses against that person is there's somewhere in their desire, I'd like to have a relationship with that person. So, in fact, you wouldn't even be here if there wasn't a desire to have a relationship with the Holy Name. Somewhere else doing something else. So, just, you know, it's not a pat on the head, it's just fact. Yeah. There is some desire to have a relationship with the Holy Name. Come into the association of others who are doing the same thing because there is that desire. So this will strengthen that desire. And then, so that striving for full shelter, that's what a commitment to a relationship with the Holy Name would mean. I'm not there yet, but I'm striving step by step to get there. And then, in that condition, remain undisturbed. Even if, whatever, this duality, that duality, whatever, stay fixed in that relationship. And that's possible when there's, the husband was saying, that you're feeling Krishna's shelter, Krishna's protection. I have some notes, I think, that will take us the next 15 or 20 minutes that we have. Making a commitment to our relationship with the Holy Name, just as we're not satisfied, there's this expression, fair weather friend. Is that something you've heard before?
Yeah.
Things are going well, you're my friend. Things don't go so well, I don't know if you're my friend anymore. So a real friend isn't a fair weather friend. A real friend is in any condition. So what to speak of, going back to this prior example of, like, say, a vow of marriage, you're not my husband or wife because today you're nice and tomorrow, you know, something's interfering with that, so I'm not sure you're my husband or wife anymore. Your contract is about to expire, and I'll just let you know if I renew it or not. It's an ongoing commitment to that relationship. So a real commitment to the Holy Name, under which any relationship finds its shelter, is an unconditional one. Unconditional. That's like, you know, that's not in the material world. In the material world, there's conditions. But as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, in this world, there's no such thing as love. A lot of people would be without a business if it wasn't, you know, if people bought into that idea.
Hollywood and Bollywood, yeah.
Yeah. And music and, you know, and so on and so on. But where there's condition on a relationship, that's not a relationship of love. It's another kind of relationship. It's a business relationship. I do this for you, and you do this for me, and that's the fabric of our relationship. We have an unwritten contract, but it's a contract. You violate the contract, and the relationship is over because you failed in your performance criterion, performance evaluation. You're fired. No more relationship. But a relationship with Krishna is unconditional. The kind of commitment to the Holy Name from our side should be, as Mahaprabhu describes, unconditional. You can do with me whatever you like. But that's you know, that's not material. I want to read something from this nice Nama Rahasya book of Satchinandan Swami. Hope it's, yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes it this way. He says that both happiness and distress are the results of bhakti. Happiness comes when bhakti is performed correctly, and suffering arises when devotees commit aparadhas. However, both the sweet and the bitter results are simply Krishna's mercy. Here's a quote from the Bhagavatam, which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur refers to. It's 4.20.31. This is Prithu Maharaj speaking to his citizens in his kingdom. He says, it is just like, he's describing bhakti, it is just like a father who sometimes makes his son drink milk, and sometimes the bitter juice made from nimba leaves. Sometimes the child is healthy, here's some milk. Sometimes the child has an ailment, here's some bitter nimba leaves. The child might think, bitter nimba leaves? You don't love me. Why do you want me to drink this bitter nimba leaves? Listen. But a child isn't thinking medicine. He's thinking sense enjoyment. The devotee thinks, I do not know, but the Lord, like the Father, knows what is good and what is bad for me. Sometimes he embraces and kisses me, and sometimes he slaps me. I, his devotee, have no power at all over karma and time. He alone, by his mercy, makes me experience happiness and distress and makes me serve him. Think about this. You know, if you're not feeling Krishna's presence, you can look up 4.20.31 and read it. Canto 4, Chapter 20, Text 31. Such a devotee considers his situation in the same way King Prithu considered when he said, O Lord, please bestow upon me whatever you think is best for me, like a father who doesn't wait for the son's demand, but does everything for his son's benefit. So commitment to the holy name is not dependent upon what our experience is while chanting the holy name, any more than the son who's dependent upon his loving father or daughter, the dependent upon their parents, feels, why are they giving me bitter medicine? It may be just the thing that the dependent child needs because of a particular condition. Like, for example, what you described, being here, and you know, you're used to being at work, and you know, zoom, zoom, zoom off to work, and then with that understanding, oh, my mind is too disturbed to take shelter of the holy name. But when here, but not like I have to run off to work, but still my mind is disturbed. So that's a fruit of our inattention. It's not like, you know, we just turn Krishna on and turn Krishna off and turn Krishna on and turn, he's a puppet. We just pull his strings and he dances when we want to entertain ourselves. We're his servants. Like the son and the father, and that loyalty to the father from the son is dependent. Oh boy, he's dependent upon his father. We're dependent upon Krishna. So, factually so, not kind of so, factually, absolutely dependent upon Krishna. For whatever, and whenever, and we're fully dependent. In other words, the devotee should remain tolerant and steady in bhakti. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains further. As remaining alive is the cause of a good son receiving his inheritance, the devotee staying alive in this world with steadiness on the path of bhakti is the cause of his receiving freedom from samsara and service to the Lord. This is taken from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and it sounds like his commentary on the Tattenu Kampam So Samikshamano verse. As long as we are living in this world, we have to expect disturbances. The Dira message. Expect it. And distractions. And tests of our tolerance and persistence. It, therefore, helps to keep this encouraging verse in mind when we are forced to cope with difficulties. This verse offers a useful guideline to keep us focused on the right understanding and give us steadiness in Nam Bhajan. The steadiness is in the banner of our topic this afternoon is commitment to our relationship with Nama Prabhu. Then what we're saying here is all other relationships flow from that commitment to other relationships that are not just religiously but transcendentally performed, and all work and all endeavors of this world are going to be steady and full, replete in their satisfaction based upon that relationship. And in that relationship, we may be in a diseased state or some kind of condition that requires some medicine or a certain kind of treatment from the holy name. I'll share this from our chapel retreat in Gitanagari last, whatever it was, Labor Day weekend. Badahari was with us. Some of you know who Badahari is. He's a wonderful, wonderful kirtan performer. And if you've ever spent a little bit of time, not just during his kirtan, but like off stage, he's as humble as a person can be. He's not like timid, but he's just like so purely humble and unpretentious. He's just wonderful association. And when he sings, he literally lights up. When he was visiting in Chicago just during, when he was traveling with the bus party, Manu's bus program. He joined them in Chicago, and so he led Guru Puja twice, and his voice was kind of weak. But I asked him, are you okay to sing? So he said, I can sing Guru Puja. Practically as soon as he started to sing, his smile radiated, his face lit up, he just like levitated. He's so much relishes kirtan. But, you know, not showmanship, just pure glorification. So, after our 64-round day in Gitanagari, we were staying in the same place, the Institute house up where Bhakti Tirtha Swami was staying. And it was the next morning going down to the temple for Mangal Arati, so I just asked him, how was your chanting? How was your 64-round day? In a very deep, grave voice, he said, it was a desert. What do you mean? Completely dry. I don't know how to respond. Badahari, completely dry. He's like Mr. Glubjaman. Just squeeze him and juice comes squishing out. Dry? And he said, it's like being in a desert. He said, almost all 64 rounds. And I was thinking, how is that possible? Badahari? And he said, maybe the last four rounds. Then he shrugged his shoulders and said something to the effect that, you know, but that was very nice too. Because I was able to be in complete desperation calling out for Krishna. It wasn't feeling Krishna's presence, but it was Krishna, for some reason, was withholding his presence And there's a very nice verse where Krishna explains to the gopis why he was not making his presence felt or seen by them, and it was specifically to increase their hankering for him. It was a special mercy. Now, we're not entitled to special mercy like Vadahari is. But someone who regularly, as soon as they chant, they're feeling radiant happiness for 60 of 64 rounds is feeling they're in a desert. It's that reason, to increase hankering. And hankering is good, but not like, oh, if Krishna doesn't come, I quit. I can't concentrate. I can't continue. I have to put my bag down and something else. Get some real solid work done instead. I want to read something also about, touched on it, but a commitment to Krishna means surrender to Krishna. And tell something anecdotal, but the point I'd like to make is that a very important lesson is that when you surrender unto Krishna, you're surrendering on His terms. If you make the terms of what surrender unto Krishna means, that's not surrender. And what Krishna wants is surrender. He doesn't want your conditions, He wants your heart. And when you give your heart, it's without condition. I just anecdotal, but the first month that I was living in a temple, I learned that lesson. Krishna gave me that lesson. Here's the lesson. I was a college graduate in medical school, and I went to go live in the Boston temple. And I came, the first I came was on a Sunday evening. You know, I drove all the way from school to the Boston Temple. And I got there just in time for the close of the Sunday program. They didn't take me to the Prashadam Hall. They took me to the pot sink. And said, you know, because I had visited there once before, so they knew who I was. They said, here, you know, we have all these pots. Can you please finish the pots? I had driven, you know, like 15 miles, and can I at least take prashad? Well, finish up the pots. And, oh, you did such a good job doing pots. This is your service. And I was thinking, I'm a college graduate. I'm in medical school. They want me to wash pots. I can do other things besides wash pots. You know, don't they know who I am? So, begrudgingly, I washed pots because I went to stay at the temple, and that's what they wanted me to do. And there's some detail. The way that the Boston Temple, not the present one, but the stairway from the ashram went down, 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 and you make a right-hand turn, you go right past the pot sink heading for the temple room. So every time somebody went up and down the stairs, they would stop and, you know, watch me washing the pots and say, oh, you're doing such a nice job. Prabhupada said, when you scrub the pots, you're cleansing your heart. So my college brain was thinking without saying, oh yeah? Then why aren't you here washing pots? But I didn't say it, I just was... If you believe what you say, then how come you're not here? And then... But I just kept washing pots. And then they said, oh, you're doing such a nice job washing pots. Prabhupada said you should wash the pots to such a degree that you can see your reflection in the pot. So, you know, that was like an instruction from Prabhupada. So finally I just surrendered and said, I want to go on Sankirtan with the other devotees, because every day the van would leave and everybody joyfully would go out with their musical instruments and Harinam Sankirtan, and there I was washing pots. See you later. Have a nice time washing pots. So I just surrendered and said, this is what Krishna wants me to do, so let me do it in Krishna consciousness instead of begrudgingly. And I made this commitment that I was going to wash the pots, not just the inside where you put the food part, but where the fire part goes. You can see your reflection in the bottom of the pot. And these were like old pots that were, you know, thick, black. And you know, it took like 3 weeks to get all the black out. And by the time that happened, I had realization that by washing the pots, I'm cleansing my heart. And that Prabhupada wanted to, and so I was just fulfilling the instruction of Srila Prabhupada. And after a month, somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, "We got somebody else that can wash pots. Why don't you come out with us?" So Krishna made an arrangement for me to do what I wanted to do, but on his terms. So if you surrender, the lesson I realized, if you want to surrender to Krishna, surrender under his terms, and that's what Krishna wants. He can, you know, engage us this way, engage us that way, but he wants is our heart. Not just this service or that service, he wants our heart. So a real loving relationship is unconditional. And there's full surrender. There are six symptoms of surrender mentioned in Nectar Devotion, taken from Padma Purana. Here's a prayer, or song rather, from Sharanagati. We're in Sharanagati, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sharanagati songs under Atmanivedana. There's one of them that's directly in relation to the chanting of the holy name. This is the sixth verse translation. By what personal understanding or by what power has one such as me come into your shelter? Surely it is your mercy alone. For as Doya Moya, a name of Krishna, is he who is filled with mercy, and Patita Pavana, the savior of the fallen souls, you are ever engaged in delivering the fallen. Number two. My only hope, O Lord, is that you are full of compassion and mercy. There is no one more in need of your mercy than me. You will surely drive away all my fears. Next. No one else in the world has the power to rescue me. O merciful Lord, by your decree, kindly deliver this vile and lowly sinner. This point that you made of commitment, there's not looking for some other alternative. Exclusive shelter. I have given up everything and come unto your lotus feet, O Lord. I am your eternal servant, and you are my maintainer. You are my sole protector, O Lord of the universe. Everything is yours. I am merely your menial servant, so it is certain that you will deliver me. I have chosen your lotus feet as my only shelter. I no longer belong to myself. Last, Bhaktivinoda weeps as he humbly takes shelter of your lotus feet, forgiving all his offenses and affording him a taste for the holy name. Now, please kindly maintain him. So, question, if one approaches Krishna with that kind of submission and surrender, what's Krishna going to do? He'll reciprocate with that mood of the surrendered devotee, very naturally so. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's powerful words can open one's spiritual eyes and create a mood of devotion in one's heart, a mood highly conducive to chanting with true humility. When we chant with humility, we can then full-heartedly concentrate on the short meditations given in this verse. So, Rupa Goswami teaches this also to under the heading of due to our offenses, the end of Shikshastakam number 2 is I have no taste, and our acharyas regularly say that's because of our offenses. But an antidote, in addition to carefully guarding against the offenses, is Shikshastakam number 3, which would be a good idea to become familiar with and absorbed in. And it's the first message in Shikshastakam 3 is humility. Trinadapi suni chena or kevalastakam. It's spelled wrong on the wall there, but the last verse is trinikritya jagat sarvam. The same word trin is straw. So trinadapi suni chena, feeling oneself lower than trin or straw in the street. And this is trinikritya or jagat sarvam. The whole world becomes trinikritya, as insignificant as a straw. And when absorption or commitment to the holy name is very strong, what happens? All other things just fade. They just fade if we take shelter. If the mind is still occupied with so many other busy false shelters, can't concentrate, can't take shelter. So commitment helps one get beyond that limitation. How many? Yeah.
Oh, I finished my 64 and a half hours.
Yeah. You went home? Okay. Yeah. Okay, so we're almost at the 5:15 mark. You ready for your next thing? No, I was just going to, like, you know, kick back and watch the fun. It's mainly writing. Okay. Any concluding remarks or questions or comments? Yes? Yes. 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 What?
Is it this case for not chanting?
Sure. Sure. It's called suffering.
Yeah.
Not wanting to suffer counts.
Like I know.
That's good.
Chanting, but I have a distaste for not chanting.
That's good. That's it. That's a qualification, sure. But that's a good point. Yeah.
So you were mentioning about through regular hearing.
Well, you're not, the two options you presented are not mutually exclusive. It's gradual and then complete. Realizations are partial according to our submission and the purification that comes from that submission. And then when it's complete, then it's complete. Everybody feeling good about the experience of the day? So we're going to mosey on over to the whatever you call that spot. Pavilion, all right? Mosey on over to the pavilion.
Sure. Yeah.